Like I say, good morning to everyone. Good to be here, and God has been good to us, allowed us to see you just another day. Amen. For those who may be visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guests on the audience. If you're in the audience here and present with us, we appreciate you being in here with us, as well as those who are listening to us via a conference call or YouTube or Facebook. We thank God so very much for his blessings, his grace, his mercy, for loving us and sending his only son. Amen. And his son then died on that cross, amen, and shed his blood, and that'll wash our sins away. And that same blood purchased his church, his bride, only one you ever read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. That's it. That's it. And to become a member of the Church of Christ, you got to obey the gospel. Is that right, y'all? Just finished a good gospel meeting, four souls were saved in Mississippi. And so power is still in the preaching of the cross. We believe that preaching of the cross, as God says, it will draw men. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what? I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we hope you'll do like some did the week before last. I was here. Three baptisms. Amen. Amen. And the people are still obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. Is that right? That's right. So if you want to become a member of the church, then you got to be baptized. Got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then the Lord will add you to the church. That's how you become a Christian. Amen. Now, this morning, a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, last sermon I preached was about the end of the world, because the world is loosely using words such as end of the world and Armageddon. And I just thought we may go and just look at that. So I'm thinking if Putin sent a nuclear bomb to Ukraine, it's going to be Armageddon. But those are folk who don't know nothing about the Bible. They don't know what they're talking about. And then we talked about that. People can't predict and still falsely predicting the end of the world. And so you got to believe the Bible. I showed you that last time, that the angels don't know. Jesus don't know. Only the Father will call the end of the world. So don't worry about the end of the world. Worry about the end of your life. That's what you should be concerned about. Your salvation, how you die. And because Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, he said, you can't come. And so that's what's serious about this matter, because when the end of the world comes, it's too late to obey then. You can't obey. Amen. You're going to be running from death. Death will flee from you. Death won't even, you can't even catch death at the end of the world. Y'all know that? Can't even catch. That's some exciting. Go back and listen to that sermon. If you didn't listen to it. Now, so this is Revelation. Many people are afraid of Revelation. I've done a whole study of Revelation several times. So symbolism, a lot of symbolism in this portion of Revelation 16 is prophecy. It's prophecy. None of this has happened. What's the point in Revelation? Where judgment is coming. It's come. It's happening. In this text, it's telling us when judgment happened. This is what's going to be going on. Now, we know this is future prophecy, because judgment has not started, have it? Right? Now, we know judgment hasn't started. Thank God it hasn't, because some of us will be in trouble. Amen. Now, at this point, in 1 Corinthians 15:24, so when Jesus come back, he's going to deliver up the kingdom, meaning the church, back to the Father. He's going to put out all rule and authority. And 1 Corinthians 15:24, the Bible says what? Then cometh the end
when he shall have delivered up kingdom to God. And even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
Remember when Jesus got up from grave, he said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28, he could go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, Paul records, in the end, Jesus would deliver up the kingdom. That's when he come to take the church back to the Father's house. And so he give up all rule and authority. At that point, everybody falls in the hand of the living God, meaning the Father. Amen. So now we got to deal with the Father. The Father will be the one who will announce judgment. The hour of judgment will be announced by the Father himself. The Father will issue in this chapter 16, seven vials or cups. Seven vials. This discussion leads up to Armageddon. So we gotta start at verse 1 and kinda work our way up to Armageddon. There's nothing to be afraid of. I remember when I was growing up, my grandmother had this big Bible. You know, y'all see them big old Bible, you turn to the back, got them lions and stuff in it. That book scared me when I was growing up. Have y'all seen any of those books? Back then they had, I haven't seen one lately, but my mom, my grandmother, that's one thing. She kept it open back there on them ugly faces. Amen. If they had five or six heads on it and all that. But that's what I remember about Revelation. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. I'm trying to break this down for you. Now, this sermon won't make you shout or jump up or nothing, but it'll sure get your attention. It says, I heard a great voice
out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth.
Now, important here, the angels said, go and pour out the vials. No, pour out the vials of the wrath of who?
God.
Of God. Where about?
Upon the earth.
So this is getting ready to happen. John said he heard that great voice. But this voice is important for us to know. Many people have forgotten about this voice. In Matthew chapter 17, let's go over there. This voice he's speaking of, let's identify who this voice is. This was not the first time John had heard this voice. Notice this in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. This is the transfiguration. He said, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John.
His brother. And bringeth them up unto...
Peter, James, John, in a high mountain. Read.
And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
Right. Verse 3.
And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking.
Moses and Elijah appears talking. Right? Mm-hmm. And then he says what? Then Peter answered Peter,
said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here.
Yeah, Peter said, it's good to be here.
Let us make here three tabernacles.
Let's be a three places of worship.
One for
Christ. That would have been the church of Christ.
One for Moses.
Be the church of Moses.
And one for Elijah.
Then we had a church. If it up Peter, he'd have a church of Christ, a church of Moses, and a church of Elijah. You already see a problem? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? You already see a problem. You kind of look like denominationalism, doesn't it?
Yes, it
so, but now verse 5, he said, while Peter was talking about trying to build more than one church,
behold,
a bright cloud overshadowed him. And whatever.
Behold, a voice out of the cloud.
There comes this voice. This is the voice that's in Revelation 16. This voice coming, a voice, and said what?
This is my beloved son.
This voice said, this is my beloved son.
In whom I am well pleased.
Hear ye him. This is the Father. The Father spoke to Peter that day when he was trying to build three tabernacles. So this voice was the Father's voice, and that voice is still relevant today. Amen. And we got a church on every corner, but the voice that already spoke. He wouldn't let Peter build more than one church. No matter how good Moses was, how powerful Elijah was as a prophet, God the Father stopped him in his track and wouldn't let him build but one church. He said, no, but this is my beloved son, and whom I'm well pleased to hear. Now, on another occasion, this voice spoke. And Matthew chapter 3, and the verse is number 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. I call this the forgotten voice. Everybody wants Jesus in this world, but they don't forget about there was a father.
Mm.
Listen to what the Father says now. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him.
Uh-huh.
But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Watch it now.
Then he suffered him.
Uh-huh, read.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Read.
And lo, a voice
there
from heaven.
There it is. That voice is again.
Same.
Now, the voice speaks on occasions. He spoke when he was trying to build three tabernacles. He spoke when it came to baptism. And the Lord, a voice from heaven saying, who?
This is my beloved son
in whom I am well pleased. In both occasions, he referred back to his son. I don't know why anybody would not want to be baptized. I don't know why anybody would kick against baptism. Only a false teacher would tell you that baptism is not essential for your salvation. Amen. Jesus wasn't baptized for the remission of sin. He did it because of an example, set an example for us. Is that right?
Amen.
So what we got to understand here is that baptism is, so if you in this audience today are listening me, understand this. If baptism is not essential, Jesus didn't know it. Jesus preached Matthew 28:18, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15-16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in him, baptized, shall be saved. Peter on the day of Pentecost didn't know baptism was an essential. Because Peter told the people who killed Jesus, who hung him on the cross, they asked him, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Yeah, and then he went on straight up saying in 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism does also now save us. Now that's baptism. If you haven't been baptized, you're lost. Amen. You're going to die in your sins if you haven't been baptized. So, Brother Brooks, I've been baptized, but I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one church. So back into it. If you're not into one church, you didn't get the one baptism, because the Holy Spirit is not going to put you in the wrong church.
Amen.
Now, the Holy Spirit leads us to one church, and that is the Church of Christ. That's it. That's it, Church of Christ. It ain't nothing to be ashamed of. And the voice spoke here at baptism, and the voice needs to go speak to some on the day of judgment. Is that right?
That's right.
Who was this voice? It was God the Father. Then there are men today that are still building churches, they're still teaching against baptism, but one day everybody going to stand before God the Father. Let's go back to Revelation now. We'll identify the voice. Verse number 1. Revelation 16:1.
And I heard a great voice out of the temple. Now that's the Father. The seven angels.
All right. Now we know who's talking. Saying to the seven angels,
go your way, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.
Okay, it's judgment time. The wrath's going to, he said, go your way, pour out the wrath of who?
God.
Wrath of God. That's beyond anger now. It's time to deal with people. He's trying to deal with what went wrong in this world. He's going to deal with the devil too. Listen to the Bible. And the first went and poured out
his vial upon the earth.
It's going to be seven of them. First one went, poured out his vial upon the earth.
And there fell a noisome
grievous sore
had the mark of the beast
upon them which worshiped his image. The first vial of wrath was poured out the earth. What was the result? Noisome, a bad foul, a grievous, a painful sores. It's gonna be a sad day when the end of the world. It's gonna be a sad day. Which one? Which ones? Now, the men which had the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast was upon them which worshiped his image. In Revelation 13:8, because I got to, if you hadn't studied with me on Revelation, in Revelation 13, we talked about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, listen to Revelation 13:18.
18?
Yes, sir, 18.
He is wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast.
Okay, number of the beast, really.
For it is the number of a man, and his number is
six. The mark of
the
beast is the number of a
man.
Man. What is it?
And his number is 666.
They say it like that, 666. Y'all heard that before, haven't you? 666? Yeah, now 6 is already short of 7. Y'all get it? 7 represent what?
Completion.
How many days did the Lord, when he came in Genesis 1, how many days?
7.
7 days. Every time you read about 7, it's completeness. 6 is short of 7. So, don't worry about a mark being in your head. The mark of the beast is this, what the Bible say. It is the number of a man. You remember in Matthew chapter 15:8, in verse 8, he said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me. Watch what happens now. Watch it. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The mark of the beast is anything man say, if anything man commands falls short of 7. That's why folk gonna be lost. Mark 7:7. In Mark 7:7, it's vain worship. Why? What is vain worship? It is no good. Matthew 7:23, these people thought they were saved. Verse 21, you still go to Mark 7. In Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? Jesus said, I will profess unto them, verse 23, I never knew you. Watch it now. You are a worker of iniquity. You did things according to the way you wanted to do it. That's the mark of the beast. That's the number of a man. Anytime you go your way and not God's way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Men can't build a church and do what they want to do. In Mark 7 and verse 7, he said, howbeit what?
Howbeit in vain you worship me.
And so here you are. Jesus said, howbeit in vain you worship me. Watch what he said now. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. See that? So the commandments of men is a 666. Mm-hmm. It's the number of a man. Folk gonna be lost because of false teachers. Men and women. That's, now watch what happens. And many folk gonna be caught up in tradition. Watch what he says now for laying aside what?
Commandment of God.
So when people lay aside the commandment of God, which is this, and hold on to their what?
Tradition. Of men.
Uh-huh.
As the washing of pots and cups.
See, you can follow your grandmama and granddad and all that. That's a man or a woman now. Minister, I know, if it was good enough for my grandmother, it's good enough for me. Be careful. Be careful. Because if your mama and daddy didn't obey the truth, that ain't gonna be good enough. And they ain't gonna be with you on their judgment. Amen. So you gonna have to deal with God on your own. Hey, I encourage everyone to make sure you don't get caught up in traditions. You know, I had my cousin tell me, I was born a Baptist, now I die a Baptist. And she did. She did just that. But the outcome gonna be dealt with by God. Amen. That's right. So what am I proving now? The wrath here is on those who follow the doctrines and commandments of who?
Me.
The mark of the beast is what?
The mark of the man.
The numbers. It's the mark of the beast. 666. Is the number of man. Verse 3 is going to go down to work on that enough. Angel number 1 spoke. Angel 2.
And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea.
Yeah.
And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea.
Yeah. The second vial of wrath, every living soul, we know this is not men. They don't live in the sea. Is that right?
That's right.
Listen to that. Now, what's going on? Destruction of the world, just like God said. All future prophecies. Watch the third angel. Third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, fountains of water, and they became what?
Became blood.
Blood. And I heard the angel of water say,
thou art righteous, O Lord,
which
art and wast and shall be.
Because
thou hast judged
us. What's going on? God is issuing judgment. Read.
For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink.
Uh-huh.
For they are worthy.
Uh-huh.
And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.
Now, so here it is. These the people who shed the blood of saints and prophets. I mean, many of them was killed and martyred back then. But here is God's judgment now. Remember when we start dealing with enemies and people who do you wrong? You don't worry about them. What you do is understand vengeance belongs to the Lord. And it's going to happen. Let's go on verse number 8.
And the fourth angel.
Number 4. How many we got so far?
This is the fourth one.
This is the fourth one, right? Mm-hmm. Number 4. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Here's another vial. Now, this is the vial, the wrath of God. It's coming down on earth upon the sun. The power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Watch this now. Men were scorched with great heat and blaspheme the name of God.
Which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory.
Now the creator of the sun is using the sun to scorch men, but you know, this, you can't put on no sunscreen to block this one.
I know that's right.
Amen. This is not a normal sunburn, if you will. This thing is going to be happening. Peter might have been talking about it like this in 2 Peter over there. He's kind of saying things going to be hot. It's going to be hot. Yeah, there's going to be some hot stuff going on. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 9. And I've been told by some of those in, that are smart, the scientists, that if the sun just move a degree our way, we burn up. A degree away from us, we freeze to death. It's set perfectly to keep the world, okay. Now listen to 2 Peter 3, 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Read on.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Now maybe this is what he's talking about right about here. Now remember, Jesus is going to say the same thing. He's going to say that later on in chapter 16 about the thief coming at night. See, it's not going to be announced, right? It's gonna happen. That's what I talked about last time. The sign of the end of the world will be when Jesus appears in the sky. But when he appears in the sky, brothers and sisters, it's too late to repent. It's too late to get baptized. It's too late to get your life right. Now is the time to do it.
Amen.
Preach, Brother Brooks. I am. I was in pretty good mood doing the gospel. I'm trying to get back there. Yeah. Love it. Love it. But you know, this thing is serious. What's going on in this world? But the world is looking like the days of Noah. The world is looking much like Sodom and Gomorrah. This world is wicked, evil. Amen. And Paul told Timothy before he died, he said, it is going to get worse and worse. Somebody say, oh Lord, is it going to get any better? No ma'am, no sir. The world, evil men, gonna wax worse and worse. Yeah, man. That's why Paul went on and told, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. What? Be instant what? In season, out of season. When folk don't like you, when they look at you crazy, you still gotta preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove them, rebuke them, and exhort them with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men and women will not endure sound doctrine. And we're living in a world where even in the church and outside the church, we don't want sound doctrine. But the word of God is a sword. Got to use it sometime to cut up some stuff. Amen. The word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even by the son of the soul and spirit. Joints and marrow and the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You're naked before God. God gave us a sword to work on sin.
He did. It
ain't going to hurt nobody. The sin got to get cut out. Mm-hmm. Got to cut out the sin. Amen. The word of God is powerful, y'all. So we gotta believe. We have vial number four, vial number five.
And the fifth angel
poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast.
And his kingdom was full of
darkness. Full of darkness. That sounds like Satan to me.
And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their
pains and sores.
And repented not
of their deeds. Well, now God's wrath is coming down on the beast. Oh, Satan himself and his whole kingdom. No repentance is taking place. Men are Satan. No one can repent. No opportunity to get it right on the day of judgment. Now, let me ask you a question. If he come now, are you okay?
Amen.
That's the evaluation you have to make. Am I okay? Because if you're not okay, my friend, brothers and sisters and friends, then you're going to have to deal with God on the day of judgment. So, brother, we all going to judge. Now, all of us ain't going to get judged. Some going to hear him say, well done. Remember, he's coming back to take the church back to the Father. You guys got to have your wedding garment on. You gotta have the right clothes on. You don't want to stand up. You gotta have that right. You remember when John in Revelation, I'm feeling pretty good now. And when John in Revelation chapter 7 saw the, you don't have to go down. He saw them seven, the four angels holding back the judgment. He was holding it back. And they said, don't do nothing yet till we seal the children of Israel with 144,000 of the children of Israel with the seal of the living God. And then he started listing all the tribes. He started out 12 tribes of Judah, Reuben, 12,000 of Reuben, Manasseh, Benjamin, all of them, Naphtali, Manasseh, all of the 12 tribes, 12,000 each. And then he got down, far along in that chapter, he said, but beheld a great number, he said, I'll see another number, a number that no man can number. He said, the elder said, who is that, John? He said, man, you know who that is. He said, these are they who came out of great tribulation and have their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Am I right about it? They're going to be with God. They'll be there and God will be there. He'll wipe away all tears. No more crying. No more dying. God will be there and those with white robes on going to be the ones standing there looking at it. I want my white robe over you. Amen. I like that song, trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. We'll join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found when I receive my mansion, robe and crown. Amen. Amen. Don't be so upset you can't say amen or nothing. Don't let the world take your joy from you. Yeah, boy, one day we get to see him. We're going to get to see the Lord. Be there with him. Now, number six.
Sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river,
mm-hmm.
Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Yeah, Euphrates represent the land of God in God's enemies. Notice though, the enemies are going to be what? The Euphrates is going to be dried up. This is now open and clear for the defeat of the enemy. The defeat of the enemy. Who's the enemy? Satan. That old deceiver. Or Abaddon. Polyon. That old serpent called the devil. Listen, he said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs
come out of the mouth of
the dragon. There's a lot of symbolisms in Revelation now.
And out of the mouth of the beast. Mm-hmm. And out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Now, what was coming out of the mouth of false prophets?
Frogs. For they are the spirits of devils.
Now, then he come out and tell them what it is. Spirits of who?
Devils.
Devils working miracles.
Which go forth unto the kings of the earth
and to the whole world to gather them in the battle.
That great day of God Almighty.
They're going to gather them to gather. Watch this. This is very important in this verse in 4:14. Notice who the battle is. The battle of that great day of who? Between God and Satan? It don't say that. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be no battle between God and Satan. That's what they try to make us think. God and Satan going to have a fight. No, man. Satan ain't got a chance. What? How Satan going to be fighting God? He ain't got a chance. God kicked him out of heaven. You think he's going to come down here and fight with him? You listen to that kind of foolishness? You know better than that. No, this is the battle of who? The Almighty God. This battle will be won by God. That's right. Now Jesus speaks in verse 15. After he said that, verse 15, Jesus said, Behold,
I come as a thief.
Just like Peter said, remember a while ago? He's going to come as a thief in the night. Mm-hmm. Same time, here Jesus said in this text, that's why I know I can tie that back to that text, because he said, I will come as a thief in the night. That's the sign of the end of the time. When Jesus show up in the air, he's the sign. Jesus said, I'm coming, and y'all ain't going to know it. A thief don't announce himself. A robber, man, he ain't smart as a thief. Thief ain't gonna announce himself. Now, any of y'all did any robbing? What's the difference? Somebody tell me the difference between a thief and a robber.
Robber, you might be there.
How you know, brother?
Fair, I just heard.
That brother might be doing a little robbing, huh? Yeah! Thief ain't gonna announce himself, is he? Watch this now. This verse, right behind that, the battle of the Almighty God, Jesus speaks up and says, I'm coming as a thief.
Blessed is he that waits, watches.
Watch, now here it is. Keepeth his what?
And keepeth his garment, lest he walk
see,
naked.
When you're a child of God, you got to have wedding garments on to go to the Father's house. See, the church is the bride. And he's coming back to take his bride. And the bride has to be dressed to go to the Father's house. I got a servant called to put on his wedding garment. Go listen to that one. But that's all this time. I want my white robe. You want your garment on. You don't want to be called naked on this day. Naked means you have not done anything to prepare yourself to meet your God. Yeah, that's why at the invitation song, you ought to want to be a Christian. You ought to want to be a Christian. You ought to want to come down and become a Christian. How do you become a Christian, Brother Burke? I already told you at the beginning, but I tell you again. By obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. By being baptized for the remission of your sin. That's the only way you're going to have your wedding garment on. You got to be the bride. Christ is the head of the church. The church is his wife. And you got to be, when he's coming back, he's coming to get his bride. That's right. That's why the church of Christ. And that's why we got to keep preaching it just like this. And he gathered them together. Watch this now. Here we go. Here we go. Here we've been trying to get to this spot. And who is the battle? Who's the battle? The battle of that great day of who?
God Almighty.
And he gathered them together into
a place called in the Hebrew tongue.
A place called in the Hebrew tongue.
Armageddon.
Armageddon is a place. It's the battlefield, but notice, we're told about the battle, but we don't see the battle occurring because there will be no battle. That means God has won the battle. He defeated Satan when he hung Jesus on the cross. He already won the battle. It's over. This is judgment. Satan will be utterly defeated. He won't be loose on the world no more. He's going to be the king of the bottomless pit. And he, his angels, and any of us who don't obey the truth and don't live right will be in the same pit with him. And ain't no bottom to it. That's why I said, brother, we ain't going there until judgment. Well, if you read the rich man Lazarus, you die, you already know. Yeah, this is Gehenna we're talking about here, but there's another place called torment. The rich man and Lazarus, this is Luke 16, we have time this morning, but in that text of the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus was a beggar. You would think of the two, the rich man had it going on, didn't you? Yeah, but the beggar one had it going on because when he died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom. Hey, he was comforted. But that rich man was burning, man. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. He's already hot. He said, go home and tell my family. That's the bad thing about right now, folk that die right now. Man, you go tell my family. It's too late to go tell them when you die. You need to be telling your family now. Amen, Church of Christ. How high? That's the only way we'll start back baptizing folk is that we start bringing the visitors. Amen. You got to go get your family, members of your family, those who are listening out there. Can't baptize your family if you don't tell them. Amen, brother. But y'all ain't saying amen, huh? The next time we read about this is Revelation 19. Next time we read about this battle, it's over. There's no more information about it. Go to Revelation 19:19. And the beast. John said, I saw the beast.
And the kings
of the earth
and their armies gathered together to make war against him
that sat on the horse
and against his army.
Read.
And the beast was taken and with him the false prophet.
Notice who was winning. The beast was taken and with them the false prophet that brought miracles before him which he had deceived them that he had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire. All he's doing is delivering them to hell. What's the battle all about? You'll be delivered to hell. It's over. That's all. It is over. It ain't going to happen with no Russian nuclear bomb. It's going to happen when God say it's over. Every false teacher, every false doctrine, everybody who taught false doctrine going to be in there with the beast. They're going to go down with Satan. Mm-hmm. Why, Brother Brooks, I'm not going to be in that number. Now, preaching false doctrine. I'm not doing that. I'm going to stay away with the Bible. Here's how you stay away from false doctrine. Speak what the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Amen. We used to say that in the churches of Christ. Amen. Speak what the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Amen. Use Bible names.
Call Bible things by Bible names.
Call Bible things by Bible names. That used to be something we used to always rattle off. And yeah, some of our brethren have left the truth. But the Bible told us they were going to do it. Paul told young Timothy, he said, the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, forbidding to marry any priest who has been forgiven, forbidding to marry. That's a prophet, a false prophet. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what group I'm talking about. Roman Catholicism. Mm-hmm. That's false doctrine. For being a man to eat catfish. That's something I'll be wrong with that anyway. Can't eat meat on a certain day, man. Woo. Notice that the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls filled with the flesh. There's no way possible for Satan to win the battle of the Almighty God. God is just putting them in their place. That's all he's doing. He's just putting everybody in their place, including all of us. Mm-hmm. Everybody, understand it. People are going to be running. We're going to be hoping death will catch them, but death will flee from you during that day. That's something right there. It is the battle of the Almighty God. The place Armageddon, called Armageddon, Hebrew tongue, just like the Bible said. It's just what the Bible says. No more and no less. And you get those smart folk, they're going to try to give you a whole bunch of stuff. You know, the best way to study the Bible? Leave it like it's written. Take it for what it says. Don't add to it and don't take from it. That's why God warned all of us, even preachers, me, Bruce Powell, anybody preaching or anybody who calls himself a Bible teacher. Understand, there are penalties for it. He said, if any man add unto the words of the prophets of this book, God would add unto him plagues. If any man take away from the words of the prophets of this book, God would take his part out of the book of life. I don't want that to happen to me. How many of y'all want that to happen to you?
No.
Amen. Now look at this. As we close, let's go back to verse 17. The seventh angel poured out his vial. How many we got so far?
Six.
Here comes the seventh.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air.
And
there came a great voice out of the temples of heaven.
Go ahead, voice here. Who is that?
From the throne saying.
Who is that, y'all? That great voice. Who is it?
God Almighty.
The Father. Yeah. And then the seventh angel poured out his seventh vial of wrath into the air. Now why the air? Get Ephesians 2:2. It's all coming to the end for old boy Satan. Notice he said, wherein in time past
ye walked according to the course of
the world,
according to the prince of the power
of the who? Air. See, who is that guy? The spirit that now worketh in
children of disobedience.
Yeah, so now the wrath has come down on Satan and his whole kingdom. This is the voice saying to Satan, it is done. It's over. Let's go back and close out verse 18 and 19.
And there were voices and thunders
and lightning.
And there were greater earthquakes such as not since men were upon the earth.
Uh-huh.
So mighty an earthquake and so great.
They never seen nothing like this.
And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath.
Babylon represented, if you've studied Revelation with me, you see when Babylon represented forces of evil against the gospel of Christ. But it's destroyed by the preaching of the cross. See, that's how we kill Satan. We preach the cross. That's where he got him at. He defeated Satan on the cross. Jesus did. So we got to continue to preach. If we're going to deal with the forces of evil, how are we going to deal with them? You got to preach what? The cross. Yeah, that's why Jesus said, if I be lifted, I draw all men unto me. You remember he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, y'all remember him saying that? In John chapter 3, all the people were dying, and then God told Moses, said, what to do? He said, put a snake up on a pole, a brazen snake. Put him up on, and told the people, look at the snake. Look at the brazen snake on the pole. If they look at the snake on the pole, they won't get bit by the snake. See, what it represented there was Christ would be the dead on the pole that they'd have to keep their eyes on. Because if we keep an eye on Christ, we won't get bit by the snake. Who is the snake? Satan. If you take your eye off of Christ, you're going to get bit by the snake. But if we lift up Christ, the snake can't hurt us. Amen. And so all of us in our lives, what we have to do is not only obey the gospel, but we need to live a good Christian lives so that we can keep our eye on the cross. Amen. If we keep our eye on the cross, we ain't got our eye on each other. Amen. Keep our eye on the cross, see Jesus and deal with Jesus and watch Jesus and follow Jesus in your life. And then you have to won't get bit so much by these snakes. Let's close it now. Verse 20 and 21. Every hour fled away,
the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven.
Every stone
about the weight of a talent.
And men
blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great.
What is this telling us? Judgment is no time to be changing. There's no time to repent. Right now, brothers and sisters, the time is now. Jesus is calling this morning through this message. You know, do we have to have a hell sermon to get right with the Lord?
Mm-mm.
Huh? You think that's what the Lord want? He don't want us to fear dying. He wants us to fear God. If you fear God, you'll keep his commandment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. That's what Solomon said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We ought to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. See, you don't want your secrets coming up on judgment. Amen. You want to get that done. You want to get that taken care of today. Amen. You want to do that because here's what happened. God so loved you that he gave his son. Now one of the disciples betrayed him. One of them denied him. Amen. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him with a kiss in the garden. And that sent Jesus to death row. That sent him, Jesus was going to die for our sins. But before he died, he was beaten with a whip. Amen. And then not only was he beaten, he was spit upon and mocked. What's going on? God was sending his son, for he so loved the world, he would send his son to die. So we wouldn't have to be worried about this judgment thing. That's why he sent him. Amen. How many of you want to be saved? How many of you want to go to heaven? Amen. You got to obey the truth to go to heaven. You got to believe that God sent his son, and it's the reason he sent, because he loved us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You shouldn't perish after God loved you and gave his son. And the Bible said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. So God want us to respond, not out of fear, out of love. His love for us should cause us to want to respond to him. That's what he want. He want us to respond to his love. Amen. The love of sending his son. The love of his son taking the beating, wearing the crown of thorns, going to the hill of Calvary, being nailed on the cross, hanging there for 6 long hours. He stayed there for us. Y'all know that? He stayed there to keep us. Don't have to worry about Armageddon. We don't have to worry about the end of the world, because you're going to be all right with the Lord. Yeah, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, or if you're listening out there, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How many of y'all believe he's the Son of God? Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. What he did, when he took him off the cross after he shed the blood, he gave the command. If people say they love God and they love Jesus, why won't they obey his command? Mark 16:15-16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you say you love him, why wouldn't you obey him? The Bible says, Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You got to obey God to go to heaven. That's why in the churches of Christ, we baptize people, because that's what Jesus commanded. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, because that's what the Christians did. Are you in the church? You don't drink the blood every Sunday? Do you understand the shedding of the blood is for remission of sins? Hebrews 9:22 said, without the shedding of the blood, there will be no remission of sin. Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament, shed for many for the remission of sin. Remission means forgiveness. You got to contact the blood. You contact the blood in the water of the grave of baptism. Revelation 1:5. We're washed in blood. And then you'll watch Acts 22:16. Ananias went to Saul, chief of sinner. The chief had to be washed. If the chief of sinner had to be washed, no, we got to get washed. That's what he said. He was down praying. And Ananias said, why tarryest thou? Arise and be what? Baptized. Wash away your sin. Calling on the name of the Lord. How many of you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been to Jesus yet? Have you given your life to be buried in water for the remission of your sins? Don't you know that's the beginning of avoiding of this day of judgment? Satan's winning your life. How long are you going to let him win? At what point do you walk? At what point do you obey the gospel? At what point do you get everything you ever done forgiven? You can do it today. We got water. We got clothes. We got everything for you. It's just a decision of yours. Yeah, but do you love God? If you love him, then obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. John 14:15. Who want Jesus today? Who want to be a Christian? We said, Rubber, what I got to do to be a Christian? You got to hear the gospel. Hear the good news I just preached. The good news that he died for your sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried and rose again the third day. How many of y'all believe that? That's number two. You got to believe it. You never saw it, but you got to believe it, because this book right here. If you believe it, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you're going to perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffered to us war. Not willing. God don't want us to perish. He wants us to come to repentance. You done turned your back on God. You done walked in and out of here. You've been listening to me on the conference call, on Facebook. You done heard these messages over and over, and you shake your fist for God. That is going to cause you to face him on judgment. You got to stop shaking your fist at God. You got to stop rejecting him. Jesus said, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, had one that judged you. The words I spoke, the same old judge on the last day. The book's going to be open on the day of judgment. Gonna be right here. Your name gonna be in front of God, and he gonna know. You will listen to Brooks. He gonna know on this day, October the 30th, 2022. Brooks told you, quit shaking your fist at me. He was preaching the gospel. He showed you. There's gonna come an end, and I'm gonna take vengeance. Vengeance belong to me. Brooks showed you that. You heard it. You heard it, but you didn't repent. You didn't change. You walked out of there again. You went back to bed again like you did on a conference call. Or those are listening. When you gonna get up and go get baptized? Amen. Number four, you gotta what? Confess. What do you gotta confess? Jesus Christ is who? You gotta, every knee will bow on the day of judgment. And every mouth will confess. You better do it. You're gonna do it. You might well do it while the blood is running warm in your veins. Every knee the Bible say gonna bow. Every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't know about you. I'm gonna do it while I'm living. Done did it 36 years ago. I went ahead and said it. Do you believe? Yes, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. Anybody like me in the audience this morning, you want the Lord in your life, you need Jesus, you want to be a Christian, you done went through a whole lot of trials and tribulations, you going through some painful things in your life, or you having some hardships in your marriage, in your relationships, in your family, what's going on? Why are you at this room today? Why are you listening to me today on the call? Why are you listening to me this morning? Why is this message relevant to you? Because something going on in your life. Jesus is calling you here. He's calling you. We have to be warned. This book warns us that if we don't do right, there is an end coming. There's a hell to win, you are sure enough, but there's a hell to miss. The only way you're going to do is believing. You got to believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then, that's step four. Number five, you've got to be baptized. Why? It's commanded. And I done said enough about baptism through this whole sermon. I've been talking about baptism. Amen. You shouldn't have to beg a man or woman to obey the gospel. If they fear God and they want their souls to be saved, well, you'll come down, you'll come running. Like we're down there in Mississippi, folks, we're running down now. Trying to get back, want to get baptized. Want to come back home. That's the other thing I'm noticing. There's a lot of members of the church through the pandemic that fell away. And they fell away. But many of them are coming back. And maybe you're here today. Now I'm not talking to the visitors no more. I'm talking to a child of God. You may be going through some trials right now, some tribulations. God is allowing you to go through some things. How many of y'all going through some things? I raise my hand. It's that, man, life is tough. You know, things can be going good. One phone call, the whole day changed. Just one phone call. But yeah, just one text message. You know, they got it bad by sending a text message. People can just destroy you with a text. You can have a good day and boom. Y'all had any of that happen to you? Email, you open email, oh man. Why you do it like that? You know, early morning phone call, midnight call. You hate to answer your phone. Like what, man, what now? Right? How many of y'all are going through some tough things? Life is tough. Life is tough with God, and life was tough without God. But here, if we're going to live tough, if life going to be tough, we ought to live it with God. Amen. And if you're listening today to me and you need to repent, you come on down now. We need to stop sitting where we are. Come on down. Come down now and ask God to forgive you. Make your confession. Amen. Get your lives right, church. You got to get your lives right. We got to have God on our side. The only way we have him on our side is we do what's right. Amen. Somebody need to come this morning. Say, I'm a Christian. You want to be a Christian? I want you to come. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to come home, I want you to come. If you're my brother and sister and you strayed far away, come home this morning. We ask you to come home. We want you to come back. We want to get your life right. If you're on the call, make a confession. Make a confession. Ask for prayer. Somebody need prayer this morning? Do y'all know the eyes of the Lord over the righteous? And his ears are open what? to their prayers. If you're here and you need prayer, here's the time to do it. Let the church know. Write it on the card. Send it up here. Walk down here. Let the church know you need prayer. Maybe your health situation is of such that you're sick and you don't know how sick you are. But you need prayer. Amen. You need a prayer of the righteous in your corner. You need them praying for the doctors, praying for the decision, pray for the surgeon, pray for the outcome. Pray, pray, pray. Why? You pray, brother Bruce, because the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Some of us are still alive because somebody prayed for us. Amen. There's a song like, somebody prayed for me. My mama prayed for me. My sister prayed for me. My daddy prayed for me. My preacher prayed for me. My sister in Christ prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. Amen. Ain't y'all thank God for prayer? I pray for brother Bruce. Pray for me. I won't be the first one. Who got the prayer, invitation prayer? Who got that? You make sure you call brother Brooks' name. Cause I'm making my request now. I'm making mine right now. I want you to, y'all pray for me, okay? Got some stuff going on. I need prayer for me. Yeah, pray for my daughter too. Take my daughter. Pray for my daughter. We need her. We need prayer for her. Pray for me. Pray for my daughter. Amen.
Amen.
And I got y'all feedback and you'll hear from me. So y'all pray for me, okay? What I want you to do now, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian and you need prayer, you seriously think about, is this place called Armageddon a concern? Or is your life right now a concern? What message do we leave with now? The concern should be Armageddon? The concern should be what? Right now. Your condition. Where are you at with God right now? So I need those who want to be baptized, you come down. I want those who want prayer, come down. Those who make confession, come down. All right, hit 5-star on the call. If you're on the call, hit 5-star. And the brothers on the call will make sure that we get you. We'll get you baptized. If you listen to it on Facebook or YouTube, make sure you reach out to us. By the information that's there, you get to us. We'll get you baptized. We'll get you to a place. No matter where you are in our listening audience, we'll find a Church of Christ. And you can get baptized today and become a member of the Lord's Church. Amen. Well, if you want to be a Christian, why don't you come? Together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Amen. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Yeah, anybody want to be a Christian this morning?
Anybody
want prayer this morning? You want to come to the Lord? Let him in your life. Let him in your life. Let him in.
To be a Christian.
Let him in your life.
In my heart.
Who want to be a Christian?
In my heart.
In my heart, in my heart. In my heart.
In my heart.
In my heart. In my heart. Anybody want to be a Christian? Get your life right with God. Wouldn't you come to him? Let him in your life. Let God in your life.
To be
get ready right now.
Christian,
God wants you to come. He wants you to come.
In my heart.
Wouldn't you come to him this morning?
Lord,
let the Lord in your life. Let it in. Let it
to
in.
Be come like home. Jesus.
Come back to the Lord.
In my heart. In my heart.
Come to him. Let him in. Let him in.
Lord,
Jesus is God.
I want.
Wouldn't you come to him this morning?
To be
be like Jesus
in my heart.
In my heart.
In my heart.
What you doing? What you doing? Somebody at the back, you need to come to the Lord.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Lord,
I want to
hey.